Welcome to the home study course entitled Big Boys Don't Cry, Treating Male Shame and Depression, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979 to thousands in the U.S. and Canada as well. Hi, my name is Matthew Fields. I will be the narrator of this CD. We appreciate that you have chosen our course as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., who demonstrate characteristics of masculine depression. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Healthcare Training Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content. Regarding completion of the answer booklet, at the end of each CD track, a question is asked. This question corresponds with a question in your answer booklet. Merely write the correct letter on the blank line that precedes each question. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. These questions are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate answering each question, you might read the question from the booklet prior to listening to the CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So just a hint, after you answer a question, read on to the next question in order to give yourself a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer. Most generally, I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the word therapist, if your job is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively deter you from hearing the content of the track because your job is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client to the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. This course will discuss such topics as rules that maintain shame and masculine depression, sources of shame, redefining and reparenting, recognizing shame, forgiveness and healing masculine depression, embracing the paradox, and shame versus guilt. So let's get started. In the remainder of this track, we'll look at 10 rules that sustain shame in your depressed male clients. For the male, depression carries so much of a burden of shame that it is hidden, sometimes so well it fools those who have it. Depression and resulting shame often masquerades as drinking and lashing out at others and subverts relationships. These rules, complied by Everingham, surface again and again in the lives of depressed men because shame is a major factor in many cases of depression. Basically, these rules are habitual shaming acts that evoke natural but often shielded feelings of shame. This will sound familiar to you, but we'll also look at particular ways to break these rules and, consequently, stop the cycle of shame. Now let's look at the 10 rules that sustain shame and depression in your male client. Number 1, control. I have found oftentimes males who feel shame feel the need to be in control of all behavior, interactions, and feelings. Understanding this underlying desire for control is key to understanding each rule on Everingham's list. Power struggles result from a man needing to control his emotions and the situation in general. I feel most male clients can never fully eliminate power struggles. The exercising of control is perhaps part of the vitality of masculinity within a man. But if a man feels ashamed of competing for control, which can lead to depression, he can help by being honest and open about his feelings of needing control. Rule 2 that sustains shame and depression is blame. Another rule that shaming men follow is to blame somebody, including themselves, if something goes wrong. They never blame the shame-generating system or their rules, although that would be more appropriate. Either taking on too much or too little can cause shame, either through feelings of inadequacy or feelings of innocence. Often men will blame themselves for war, crime, patriarchy, and sexism. Whenever you hear this, consider trying pointing it out to your client, thus helping your client to explore whether that blame is warranted. In cases where my male client seems to blame others, I ask him to use more I messages rather than you messages or they messages. Rule 3, perfectionism. Shame is generated when men always are, do, and feel right. They don't try it if it means they might make a mistake, and they justify everything. They are often overcompetitive and are either trying to cover up a perceived deficiency or believe that a mistake will mean the end of the world. It may be that men who are perfectionists withhold feelings, especially in men's groups. When I see this in my depressed, shame-based clients, I like to tell the client, "You don't have to be right. You just have to be honest." Are there some clients you can say this to? Rule 4 that sustains shame and depression is incompleteness. I find depressed, shame-based male clients are easily ashamed if they feel incomplete in some way, like if they haven't resolved disagreements with others, especially their partners. When they keep feuds and resentments going, not daring to confront the problem, I tell my client to again to start with being honest. It may take a while to completely resolve the issue because some more superficial problems may first divert attention from the real issue. I find clients experience a sense of relief when they realize they don't have to give up themselves in order to be loved. Number 5, denial. As we've discussed, many men easily deny feelings, needs, and desires, both their own and others. They especially deny feelings they consider inappropriate, like sadness or fear. And they'll deny even the obvious. They may feel the only acceptable emotion is anger. But when they disassociate from their feelings in this way, an inherent shame sets in. Just letting them know their feelings are legitimate can help them to open up and explore all of their feelings. In addition to control, blame, perfectionism, incompleteness, and denial is 6, no talk. Related to the concept of denial, men might bottle up their feelings and hide secrets with a strict code of silence. So you agree your clients keep quiet on personal secrets, taboo subjects, and resentments. Particularly men are often too humiliated to talk about money, insecurities about their body, anger towards women, feelings of superiority, or conversely, intimidation, addictions, or disappointments. Do you agree? I find the best way to crack the shell is to let them know their feelings are okay and acceptable. Rule number 7, disqualification. I have found shame is generated when men deny their feelings by disguising them. They'll spin the shameful incident around and distort it in the process. They try to avert their focus from the shameful part and focus their attention instead on the positive part. While to an extent, this is a healthy practice, it's important for men to recognize when they feel ashamed. Otherwise, as you are aware, disqualification will only maintain the status quo so he doesn't have to confront the serious, shameful content. In our society, men are so accustomed to disqualification in the media, politics, the law, and so on, that we forget something is being disguised. Once again, honesty is the most effective way to begin breaking down the shame-perpetuating rule. Rule number 8 that sustains the shame and depression is unreliability. Sometimes, male clients create shame by being unreliable or untrustworthy. They don't act in a predictable way, keeping the people they love guessing about their actions. Consequently, they begin to expect the same unreliability from others, and others begin to distance themselves, afraid of his reactions to certain mistakes. He feels shame because he isn't close to anyone, when what he really needs is intimacy. He often is unreliable, even to himself, and doesn't view himself as a good friend. I have found client confrontation seems to help in many of these cases. Hopefully, if he perceives someone else or himself as unreliable, he can call it out and begin to change it. Rule 9 that sustains shame and depression is not allowing the 5 freedoms. The 5 freedoms I'm referring to are power to perceive, to think and interpret, to feel, to want to choose, and the power to imagine. Shame men don't allow their children, or often their parents, these freedoms. And just as important, they don't allow them for themselves. Often, the rule of perfectionism prevents these freedoms from being fully expressed. personal confrontation, independent of control, is the best way to introduce the freedoms back into depressed men's lives. If they stop feeling the shame of being themselves and of causing hurt to other people, they can feel these freedoms again. Rule 10, Moral Intimidation. Too often, men shame by assuming the right to decide what and who are right, appropriate, enlightened, professional, mature, humane, or politically correct. They might enforce moral authority with shaming threats, rhetorical questions, or name-calling. And depressed men can either be perpetuators or the object of this shame-reinforcing rule. They'll either judge the other people's value and drive them away, or feel naturally ashamed by having their own values frowned upon. As you know, everyone follows these shaming rules from time to time. The trick is to recognize when shamed, depressed male clients are following these rules. They can then begin to break them. Think of a male client you are currently treating who feels shame. Does he exhibit the shaming rules of control, blame, perfectionism, incompleteness, denial, no talk, disqualification, unreliability, not allowing the five freedoms, and moral intimidation? Would it be beneficial to talk about these with him? Would it be beneficial to play this portion of track one in a session with this client? In the next track, we will discuss the shame release technique. Question one, what are the 10 shaming rules?